This is TWiT.
You got to look at Samsung's new portable SSD, the T5 USB 3.1 Gen 2, 10 gigabit per second, 500 gigabyte, and 2 terabyte drives. I want a 2 terabyte external SSD drive. Do I even want to know what that costs?
In this case, it, I believe, is $800.
Okay.
Kind of up there. It's 40 cents a gig.
That's more than I've got, but...
Yeah, I mean, that is pricey. I mean, you're getting 2 terabytes of solid-state storage, though. So this is sort of a refresh and sort of an upgrade, all in one product. So Samsung wanted to start putting their 64-layer VNAND into the external drive. Probably needed a controller update, maybe another couple of firmware tweaks, whatnot, just to make all that work. And I guess they figured while they're in there, well, let's just... It's time for a refresh anyway. You know, T3's been out for a year. Let's just update this thing. So they did. Uses a new AS Media controller, which is capable of USB 3.1 Generation 2, which is 10 gigabit. All of the previous models, the T3 and the T1, were only 5 gigabit interface, connected to a 6 gigabit capable SATA, internal mSATA part. So you were kind of losing a gigabit worth of throughput. In those particular cases. So, new AS Media chip lets you, take more full advantage of the SATA speed. So now you're essentially seeing the full SATA device speed over USB as long as you're connected to a 10 gigabit USB port.
Okay.
And this applies if it's Type-C or Type-A connector, right? It doesn't really matter which style connector. Actually, the T5s come with both cables. Even though the port on the device is type C, they include a cable that goes, type C to type C and a type C to type A cable.
Got it.
Which is handy because the T3 only came with a type C to type A cable. So if you wanted to go C to C, you had to buy your own cable. I still feel like those cables are a bit long. They're like a foot and a half long or a couple feet long almost, which is kind of annoying to me personally, just because if I'm going to plug the thing in and it's a laptop sitting right on a table, I don't want the cord like going out, however many feet, and it's, I just want the device to be kind of close to the laptop. Maybe the usage is a little bit different if you intend to just have the cord constantly connected to a desktop or something and you want it to kind of like wrap around from behind the case and get to the front. But I don't see that as what the real use case would be for this, because if you were using it in that scenario, now you're trying to go somewhere. If you just disconnected it and left the cable, you would need another cable. Tested some performance. Again, no surprises. Gets around 550 meg per second, which is around SATA 6 gigabit speeds. Pretty speedy. I tested on a Threadripper platform, because that's just happened to be what we had at the office up and running on a system that was... that had both, Gen 1 and Gen 2 USB 3.1 controllers in them. And if you look at the 4K random in those charts there, it's like 62 meg per second worth of 4K random on that particular platform. Now, if you scroll down to like the last ADDO result there, which I think is one more, that result, which is 115 meg per second, for 4K random, was on like a really old, like a couple year old, like Best Buy, with some just kind of a cheesy Intel, brick and mortar store kind of just, all put together system, just a real simple, minimalist kind of system. So nothing special, nothing fancy about it. And it wasn't even the USB 3.1 Gen 2 controller on it, as you can tell, because the max speed only goes to like 450 instead of 550.
Sure.
But the 4K random was twice as fast, which seems odd to me. And that you get that same kind of a result if we tested on any other Intel platform, even with the same AS Media USB 3.0 controller that we tested that was present, right, connected to the Threadripper platform in our testing here. So it kind of suggests that there might be some weird thing going on with latency sensitivity. Specific to like Ryzen / Threadripper, because we saw the same kind of latency sensitivity, not for USB connected testing, but we were doing NVMe stuff back when we did the first Ryzen review, and we noticed that for random access, the latencies were pushed out a little bit longer for each request, meaning you couldn't get as high of a, you know, IOs per second serviced at the, you know, at the smaller sizes when you were doing a bunch of them rapidly. So something I'm probably going to look into a little bit more, just on a platform thing, but I didn't want to dig into it too much on this particular piece because, again, we were just trying to test, you know, external USB drive and see how it did generally compared to the last one. So you get that under extra 100 meg per second. You're using the newer type of flash. I mean, the type of flash, really, the reliability of these things is pretty much the same across generations at this point. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. It'd be really hard to throw enough, you know, wear at this thing to wear it out within a typical person using it over, you know, the warranty period's 3 years, but the same kind of flash as in other products that, you know, with even 5 year warranties on them. So I kind of wouldn't expect you to have issues with the flash. And I did take this one apart just to make sure that, you know, it was reasonably easy. There's just like a label on one end. You can peel it back. The reason I say this is because people are sometimes concerned that if something fails in their external drive, if, you know, say they had a bad USB port and it kind of like zapped something because the voltage was too high or whatnot. Right. It's just an MSATA part in there. So you can, you know, if you open the drive, you could potentially just do your own data recovery as long as the thing that failed was on the interface board side and not, you know, and you didn't damage the actual MSATA part. But, you know, it kind of makes things easy to be able to access your data. Hopefully it's not the only copy, but in case it is, you know, at least your odds are a little bit better that you'd be able to get it back reasonably cheaply without having to send it off somewhere. Prices for all the models, come to around 40 cents a gig. Price goes up a little bit more for the 250 gig model because that normally would be, I think it normally would be like $100, but it's 130. Because once you get down to that low of a price point, eventually you have to spend some money on like the, you know, the housing, and like that starts being a higher percentage of the overall cost, right? The 250 and 500 gig models are this bluish color. And then the 1 terabyte and 2 terabyte are black. That's about it. I mean, I kind of replaced my recommendation for the T3 with with this newer model. Just kind of makes sense. On the podcast last night, I even recommended to some folks to look out for deals on the T3, which they also did sell in a 2 terabyte model. So you're going to have places that might be clearing out their stock, to start carrying T5s. In the 2 terabyte capacity, you could potentially get a 2 terabyte T3, maybe as some kind of a discount.